Welcome to another episode of
Are you joking? You haven't actually hit record, have you?
No, I did. I did hit record.
Oh, Jesus.
Action.
Oh, now my phone went off. Oh, okay.
Oh, my God. This is so unprofessional.
Passover, pass me over once again. You may say I haven't got a friend. So set a place for stranger. Welcome this old ranger. Together we'll break Mox's bread.
We rejoin our Meporpian friends and their traveling party in a prehistoric landscape full of large winged creatures and even larger, one might say, mountainous non-winged creatures who are all about their business as the sun is rising over a distant misty mountaintop. Who are all going about their business as the sun is rising over a disty misty... Try this again. This is my most difficult script yet.
Disty.
Disty mistant.
Who are all going about their business as the sun is rising over a distant, misty mountaintop. Or is that a dinosaur? I'm not sure. And as the dewdrops lay heavily on the meadow grass and amidst the quiet rustling sounds of contented grazing and distant warblings of the creatures who are among us and in the rustling sounds of the...
Shut up! If you won't leave us alone, at least make your unnecessary introductions as brief as possible. Nobody cares about the mist or the dist and the dew and the warblings or any of that stuff.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to paint a picture for the listening audience.
Oh, my comet! Look! Look at the size of that creature!
Right, like that, see? And now you use dialogue to convey a sense of your surroundings, whereas I, as a narrator, must be a bit more prosaic.
Oh, shut up! Shut up!
Captain, what did you do? You hit the home button, right? What, the comet symbol on the command console, like Farit told you?
I did. Of course I did. I'm not an idiot.
But this doesn't look like the bottom of a well outside Sioux City, so... Where could we be?
Shipward! Shipward! Status report!
Well, checking the old ship computer's memory banks, I'm seeing that large creatures, such as the ones we're seeing outside the ship now, once roamed the Earth.
Earth? Now, what is this Earth?
What is that?
What are you talking about?
Sorry, or LURF, as you call it. These large creatures are called dinosaurs, and they were the dominant life form on this planet for 165 million years.
About how many Carflugons is that?
About 500 million Carflugons.
Oh,
no.
That is a long time indeed. Well, perhaps our search for intelligent life has led us to the right place after all. Any such creature that could survive for so long must be... Great gamma rays! What is that?
It looks to be one of the large winged creatures who has got his head stuck between two branches of a tree.
Well, the search continues, I guess.
Yes, I've been studying this ginormous creature over here while we've been talking, and he is just munching on greenery ever so slowly, either because he's lost in thought or because he has absolutely no thoughts whatsoever. Perhaps if we could get a bit closer, we could do a brain scan.
Don't waste your time. It looks like as big as that creature is, its brain is not much bigger than our ship here.
Well, but this is a first-class Starrunner, a very nice ship and quite spacious, actually.
Yes, it's spacious for us, Captain, but that doesn't mean it's big enough to be an adequately sized brain for that huge creature.
But look at all the room I've got here. I'm stretching out all my tentacles, and I can't even touch the ceiling or the sides or anything. It's very big.
Well, spatial relationships was never your strength, Captain.
What are you talking about? I've had many relationships in space.
Excuse me. Sorry to interrupt, but I can hear you.
Who's that? What's that voice?
I think it's one of the dinosaurs outside our ship here.
Oh, wow. I didn't know they could hear us. Or speak, even. I thought you said they were stupid.
Yes. Hello. Well, we can speak, and I can hear you. And I have a name. It's Sherman DeLillo Clemens.
Oh, well,
Sherman, that is.
Hello, Sherman.
Yes, there's a lot you don't know about us dinosaurs. Why, for example, just earlier I heard you say that we were roaming the Earth. We've had other time-traveling visitors before, and they're always saying when dinosaurs roam the Earth. Who's roaming? No one I know is just roaming the entire planet. I'm not roaming the Earth. I live right over there at 12 Swamp Lane. I haven't left this patch of land for years now. And why would I? I have everything I need right here. Some leafy greens, some dewdrops to drink.
Oh, here we go again with the dewdrops.
And what was the handsome one there going on about before, about the size of our brains? Maybe it didn't occur to you that we use our entire brains, unlike some other creatures I know. So the size of our brains is quite sufficient. I speak 12 languages, and I've got a doctorate in philosophy.
Oh, you do? Well, then I suppose you'd be able to tell me the difference between a Freudian slip and a Jungian conception of the unconscious, huh?
Who? Freud and Jung? The ice cream makers, two mountains over. I do love their pterodactyl crunch.
Well, never mind. Just come to think of it, why would I even know whose Levian nitwits they are?
They were mentioned in our briefing holograms, I think, that we absorbed on the voyage over here to this remote corner of the universe, Captain.
Oh, right. Of course. I've got an excellent memory.
Well, the two of you bore me. I'll go back to munching on my leafy greens. Lost in thought, if you must know, and not lost forethought.
Yes. Point taken, German. Point taken. Carry on. Just don't crush us, please. Watch where you step and swing that giant tail. Be careful!
Captain, maybe we should try to figure out why hitting the home button took us to such a different point in time. Could I take another peek at the command console, perhaps?
What's wrong with your distant second in command console? What's wrong with that?
What this? I think it's an old calculator watch from the 1980s. It's hardly a console at all, really. It does include a very primitive video game, though, which I love. I have the high score.
I'm sure you do. Let's see here. Let me just scan the other buttons on the console here, which I had never really paid much attention to. See? There's a question mark icon here. That might be promising as we do have a question.
Oh, yes. Is that a help button?
Oh, help? I don't think so. When I hover over it, it just says text support. And if there's one thing this podcast doesn't need, it is text support. There's far too much text already, if you ask me. We need something a little more detailed.
I believe that reads tech support, Captain, and that may be exactly what we need.
Yes, tech support, of course. Didn't we see the giant offices for universal tech support on ROM 9 on the way to our many hearings at the Office for Due Process and Appeals? We do process appeals?
Personally, I don't care for any of the bumbling bureaucrats on ROM 9, but if you think they might be able to help us, I suppose I can hit this stupid button.
Do it, Captain. We need their help.
Oh, okay, then. I'm pressing it. Here we go. pressing, and nothing is happening. I don't think it worked.
Oh, wait, Captain. Something's coming through on the emergency embroidery machine.
Okay, well, what's it say?
Yeah, it says, thank you for contacting Universal Tech Support. We have created a ticket to track your request. Your ticket number is 43-62-112. It will be handled in the reverse order in which it was received.
Reverse order? Excellent. That means we're first on the list.
Hello, Captain. This is Bleep Fat from Universal Tech Support. How can I help you today?
Oh, my, that was quick. Hello, Deep Fat.
It's Bleep Fat. Can you hold on? I've just been assigned another ticket, so I need to handle that one first.
What? Oh, no, but I thought once you started helping us, you wouldn't...
Please hold.
Oh, God.
Please hold. Just... There we go.
What's this? Oh, no, 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 he's put us on hold. God, this is interminable. He might never get back to us if he keeps getting new tickets. Reverse order's ridiculous.
What's a horrible song, too. I wish you hadn't messed up his name, Captain. That cost us valuable time.
Because his name is Tab. I hardly think that was the problem. And what kind of name is Bleep Fat anyway? Sorry, Popian.
I think it might be Scottish.
That sounds right.
Bleep Fat, go see to the sheep.
What was that, Gory?
Sorry, I was trying out a Scottish accent there, but I think they talk a lot about sheep in Scotland, but I could be wrong.
Shipwood, maybe you can hack into the Universal Tech Support ticketing system and try to prevent Bleep Fat from being assigned any more tickets.
It seems like I need to remind you every single episode, Captain, that I am not a computer.
Oh, right, that's right. The Shipwina, though, but her hyperdrive always gets in the way of...
You rang, Captain.
No, Shipwina, I didn't ring, and besides, I think you had your bell rung quite enough in the last episode.
Crumple Stiltskin, call me. But that reminds me of a joke. Would you like to hear a joke, Captain?
No, we really don't have time, Shipwina.
Well, we do have time, Captain, as we're sitting on hold waiting for Universal Tech Support.
I'd like to hear a joke.
Well, fine. I don't know why we want to hear a computer tell a joke, but go ahead, Chipwina. Carry on.
There once was a historic church in a small town in Italy that was famous for its sweet-sounding bell, and people would come from miles around to take their turn climbing the bell tower and ringing the bell. Well, one day, a blind man wanted to ring the bell. So the caretaker said, "Very well, follow me." And the caretaker guided him up the steep steps until they reached the top of the tower. The giant bell was swinging, and the caretaker started to give the man instructions. But the blind man stepped forward at the wrong moment, and he walked right into the giant swinging bell, which made a huge gong noise and knocked him out of the tower and to the sidewalk. 60 feet below.
Oh, ho!
Oh, my goodness. That's a good one. That is a good one, Shipwina.
That's horrible. I kind of feel sorry for the...
I have not finished telling the joke.
Oh, there's more.
But why is there more?
Yes, it's quite funny, actually. Very funny, in fact.
Please stop. I will tell the rest of joke. So the caretaker rushed down the stairs and found a small crowd had gathered around the blind man, who was obviously deceased. A policeman asked, "Does anybody know his name?" And the caretaker answered, "Well, I don't know his name, but his face rings a bell."
I don't get it.
Well, I guess the blind... Hummus Bean's face actually rang the bell, but I don't see why that's funnier than the part where he fell to his death.
Right, that was the funny part, where he fell 60 feet onto his...
Tough crowd.
Well...
I think it's a Lurfian expression. When you recognize someone but don't remember their name, you say that his face rings a...
Thank you for holding.
What? Oh, Bleep Fat, it's you. Quiet down, everyone, quiet. It's Universal Tech Support. Yeah, we're still here.
tip your waitresses.
Shut up, Shipweeda. Shut up.
What seems to be the problem?
Well, how much time do you have?
Not very much. I might get another ticket any second now.
Captain, stop wasting time and ask him why we've traveled back so far back in time.
Yes. Sorry, Bleepfat, but we're wondering why when we hit the home button on the command console here, we were taken back to our home universe, as best as we can tell. However, we seem to have returned to a point in time that is millions of Carflugans prior to point at which we left.
Ah, damn it, not again. That sounds like a Bergdorf issue.
Oh no. What's a Bergdorf issue? Is that bad?
No, sorry. It's just Bob Bergdorf. He's in charge of the universal backup system here. And he's a not so recent transfer from ROM 8. And I told them I didn't think he was ROM 9 material, but here we are again, staring at another one of his messes.
What is the mess exactly, Bleepfat?
Well, clearly he hasn't been backing up the universe regularly. It's a tedious job. It involves collecting all of the backup tapes from the various relay stations all around the universe, collating them correctly, maintaining a log of save points, and so on. But that's the job. That's what I told him during his last mid-year review. And he's got to focus more on the actual requirements of his job. But Bergdorf just wanted to talk about the previous night's solar hockey scores.
Oh, how I do miss solar hockey. Yuri, we've been on Lerf so long, we have no idea how our team, the Flaming O's, are doing this season.
I thought our team was the Flamingos. Do you mean to tell me all this time that...
Yes, I very much enjoyed you shouting out the wrong team name at the Spores Bar on Fanshui.
I'm sure most people just blamed it on the shiitake shooters, though, am I right?
Wait. Are you the two beings that did that Spores talk show a while back? I caught just a bit of that. It was excellent.
See, Guri, I told you Spores talk was not a saturated market. Here, you wanted to try sports talk about sports on Lerf, which no being even knows about.
Sports on Lerf? That sounds even more fascinating. But getting back to the matter at hand, I can't believe I haven't been assigned another ticket yet, by the way. But since Bergdork, as we call him, is so bad at his job, it seems like the last time your sector of the universe was backed up was, where you are now. Prehistoric times, I guess.
So what can we do to rectify this situation? The inhabitants of Lerf in this era are positively frightening and big.
Well, you could try to find the backup tapes yourselves at the nearest relay station.
Oh, I think... Bleepfat, I think we lost Bleepfat. Oh. Bleepfat, can you hear me? Oh, brother. Bleepfat?
Hello?
Did you get another ticket?
Can you hear me now?
Yes. I feel like autumn... Oh, no. Don't put us back on hold. God damn it.
I don't know. Sorry. The system went all screwy. Where'd you lose me?
Well,
did I tell you about the backup tape location?
You were starting to tell us about a relay or something. Why is it not in the cloud in the first place?
Oh, well, I don't... Yes, it's an old system. Trust me, the universe is a big place. But what I was trying to tell you is you could try to find the nearest backup tapes yourselves at the nearest relay station, which looks to be on a local planet there called Uranus.
What? Where did you say that was?
Uranus.
What? How dare you?
What? I just said Uranus.
I heard you, and well... You're a pee hole.
Captain!
A stupid pee hole.
Uranus is one of the planets in the solar system, Captain.
I don't appreciate being called a pee hole. I think I'm getting another ticket.
No. I'm sorry, Bleepfat. 1,000,000,000 apologies. I thought you called me a name, and it was a near-jerk reaction, I guess.
Near-jerk indeed. You were quite nearly being a jerk. Well, anyway, if you collect those backup tapes and send them by emergency embroidery to us, we can get you up to date there.
Excellent. Well, You have been very helpful, Bleepfat. And I take everything back I said about universal tech support over the Carflugons and the many editorials I've written disparaging your organization on the Sun Times. And
that
the
was you. That was you.
And I now wish I hadn't keyed each and every one of the hover vehicles in the staff parking lot when we went by your headquarters on ROM 9 the last time we were there. That was...
Oh, my God, that nice. Was you, too?
Captain, maybe you should just thank Bleepfat and hang up the holophone.
What? Oh, yes, yes. Thank you very, very much, Bleepfat. We'll try to locate the backup tapes and get those to you very soon.
Yeah, yeah, well, whatever. Okay, great. Now I've got another ticket. You know, it never stops.
Will our Meporpian heroes be able to locate the backup tapes for their distant sector of the universe? Will they be able to plot a course to Uranus without getting lost in endless tangents of infantile humor?
Oh, definitely not. I can answer that question for you right now, Mr. Narrator.
Why is he back here? Why, you know, I feel like we've lost all control over the structure of these podcast episodes. Why is he not backed up?
When did we have any control, Yuri? A running theme here is our absolute lack of control. We don't know our mission. We suffer indignities at the hands of the writers or in our encounters with various creatures on Lerf or in our struggles with various bureaucracies, be they Meepulpian High Command or...
Yes, yes, Mantui. Yes, but as Captain, I feel like I should be in charge of something.
If you'd like, Yuri, you could hit the button here that cues the transition music to the next segment, thus sending us to commercial.
Wait, could I?
Yes. Yes, you could.
Or what if I didn't hit the button? Then I'd be exerting real control over the...
Okay, I'll just press it then.
Greetings, everybody. It's Anton Shalabernathy here to tell you more about Incontinental Airlines, the airline founded and run by the incontinent and for the incontinent. When you gotta go, go Incontinental. I'm joined here today by one of my angel investors, although he's no angel if you ask the cowboys at the other end of the bar there, Rubiferous Black. Say hi, Rubiferous.
Howdy, folks.
You're working on some improvements to the vacuum toilets embedded in each seat, is that right?
Yes, I believe I managed to ensure maximum and necessary suction force, no matter how many passengers flush at the same time. And I'm starting to tinker with a shred mechanism to possibly incorporate that as well.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we'll all just have to hold it until you're ready for more testing. I'm kidding, of course. Speaking of holding it, or no need to ever do so again, let me introduce one of our newest partners and inventors, a Mr. Peapod Peabody. Welcome, Peapod.
Well, thank you, Anton. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here.
You got a little bit of a verbal tick there.
What? Like... What?
Would you like to tell everyone about your invention?
Well, sure. We've been developing this for some time. Some time, actually. First under a military Department of Defense contract. Then they handed off our contract to the Department of Homeland Security. And now we find ourselves working with the U.S. Space Force. But the invention is called Smart Pants. And the explanatory tagline is, we put the P back in pants.
Oh, yes, that explains it pretty well. So there's some sort of catheter system, hopefully, hopefully non-invasive.
Well, of course, it's quite comfortable and easy to use for men and women alike. Although I should stress that smart pants are designed to handle eliminations of the number one variety only. Our prototypes designed to handle number two eliminations have fared, well, they fared less well under rigorous testing with various dietary habits. So it's pee hole only.
Ah. Those were not so smart pants, I take it.
No.
What's up, that button? It's...
Those were designed under the working names Fart Pants. Oh. And even the name itself tested very poorly among our focus groups.
I imagine so, yes, yes. Say, I have to ask, Peapod. Peapod is quite an unusual first name.
It's German.
Oh, I see. And
it's pronounced Peapod.
And Peep.
Well, I can't. I won't even try that. But Peapod Peabody, I can't help but wonder if your name led you to your discovery of your invention.
School children can be relentless in their teasing. Yes, yes. I suppose there could have been some, well, there could have been some subconscious influence there. I never really thought about it.
Did you ever consider changing your name? Not to get off track here. But...
I did change my name.
Oh, you did. I see. What was your original name then?
I'd rather not say.
Oh, please. No one's going to hear this.
It was...
What's that?
Pisher Lipschitz.
Ah! Sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Just like the school children.
I didn't laugh. Rebivers is making me laugh now. He just made a funny expression. Okay, I'm sorry, Pisher. Moving on. The benefit of our partnership with Pisher, I mean, with Peapod here.
Peapod.
Sorry.
It's Peapod now.
The benefit for our passengers is that as one might wish to move about the cabin, perhaps to visit our lounge on the upper deck of our larger planes, one can simply slide into a pair of smart pants and have no worries about needing to rush off to the nearest restroom. Speaking of which, hold that thought.
Where are you going, Anton? You were wearing a promotional pair of my smart pants. Try them out.
Oh, right. I forgot.
What's the problem?
Nothing. It's just that you're looking at me and it's...
Yeah. Oh. Shy bladder syndrome? We do see a lot of that.
No. Just carry on the conversation for a second, perhaps, and I'll catch up with that. Oh, there we go. Oh, the boy. That feels better.
Yes, well, as I understand it, smart pants will be complimentary for all of your first class passengers, freeing them up to visit that lounge that you mentioned, Anton.
What? Oh, still got. Hold on.
We do let you put the P back in pants. That's our tagline there. We put the P back in pants.
Certainly back in the pants now, yes. There we go. Well, that's a relief. No need to dash off to the loo and disrupt the conversation, or not too much anyway. Now, where were we?
Well, I believe you were going to describe the lounge on the upper deck of your larger aircraft. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. With your complimentary pair of smart pants, you'll be able to while away the hours of a transcontinental flight in our luxurious lounge setting, complete with lemonade waterfalls and fresh shellfish amidst the trickling stream and even a chocolate fountain.
Anton, speaking of that chocolate fountain and the little disaster we had on a test flight over the Yucatan Peninsula.
Yes, the Yucatan incident. After that, they had to rename it the Yucca Brown Peninsula. Oh, gosh, I'm sorry, folks. That's just terrible writing.
Well, you'll be happy to know I traced the problem to a bit of misrouted plumbing below the decks.
Oh, yes. Well, let's not get into the gory details now on the commercial, Rubiferous. Please, remember our little talk about judging the time and the place for certain conversations.
Is this not the time to talk about the vacuum flush outlets being incorrectly connected to the lemonade waterfalls and chocolate fountain? It's amazing how things were routed in just a way that no one noticed at first. That is, until someone tried.
Okay. All right. Okay. Please, Rupifers. Nobody wants to hear about how the sausage is made. What they want is just to enjoy the sausage. And that's what you folks can all do on your next flight on Incontinental Airlines. Book your flights now and cash in on our special rebate offer. Just type in the promo code Make It Rain.
I told you, Anton, to call it P-bait, not a rebate, remember?
No. Oh. Rubiferous, I'll remind you again, subtlety and discretion is the name of the game here.
Besides, we already offer a sizable pee bait on any second pair of smart pants, where we put the pee and pee bait back in pants.
Yes, well, you see, that excellent play on words was already taken. So, and we're out of time. So this is Anton Shalabernathy on behalf of Rubiferous Black and Peapod Peabody here saying so long. And remember, when you gotta go, go Incontinental.
So long. Peebles.
Peebait was stupid. I think you ought to go with peebait. Please better.
Oh, jeez.
What are these new sponsors talking about, Captain? They seem to have a flying ship of some sort that doesn't go into space. How sad.
Yes, and they are primitively powered by fossil fuels, which, well, are actually the primitive creatures we are surrounded by now. It's quite fascinating.
You mean our friend Sherman here? Well, one day he will power a commuter flight from New York to Chicago.
Well, I suppose so. Speaking of powering flights, how do our fuel cells look, Guri?
Actually, we seem to have gotten an infusion from Sherman's indignation during our conversation with him earlier.
Ooh, yes, indignation. Well, indignation is one of the very best fuels for our strongly held sentiment drive. Shipwood, do we have enough to get to the backup storage site on... Where was it? Did he say that planet was?
On Uranus, sir. Uranus, Captain.
Shipwood, this is no time for calling names.
It's the seventh planet from the sun in this solar system, Captain. I was in no way making an anatomical reference.
Very confusing. Perhaps if we pronounced it Uranus, we'll avoid the confusion, Captain. Then it sounds like urine, I suppose.
Yes,
besides scanning the old ship computer's navigational charts, it looks like the universal backup tape relay station is actually on a moon orbiting Uranus.
Ah, excellent. Well, let's just set a course for that moon then. We won't have to constantly be tempted to make jokes at Uranus's expense.
What's the moon called, Shipwood?
The moon is called Cloaca.
Oh. I feel like the writers are toying with us again, Yuri.
I'm sure of it now, Shipwood. I trust we have enough fuel to get to Cloaca.
Well, not exactly, Captain. We have enough to get there, but not enough to get back to Lurf again by a traditional flight plan. We could try a slingshot maneuver where we use the gravitational pull of the celestial body as we make one nearly full orbit around Uranus.
Well, it's not the first time I've heard that phrase.
Oh, Captain, please.
I'm sorry. It was just too easy.
Have me get through this episode.
Thus propelling us back to Lurf. This would give us a very limited time to dispatch one of us to the moon base on Cloaca to retrieve the backup tapes. Just the time it takes to make one nearly full orbit.
I'm sure our brave captain will volunteer for that mission.
Well, Guri, this will be your duty.
What? Sounds very dangerous.
And I said duty. We'll launch Guri out in a spacesuit to the moon's surface as we begin the slingshot run. Guri finds the relay station, sorts through the catalogs to find the correct set of backup tapes for Lurf, stuffs the ones we need into his space rucksack, whatever that is, and then we make a very high jump off to escape the minimal gravity of Cloaca, and we pick him up as we accelerate out of our slingshot run back to Lurf. I believe that's the plot line to Apollo 13 too, is it not?
Oh, it all sounds so simple, doesn't it, this Cloaca duty? How am I supposed to land safely on Cloaca's surface after hurtling through space at what I imagine will be very high rate of speed?
Well, you'll use your parachute pants, of course. Now suit up. We're almost at the launch point.
But launch point? How did we? I didn't even know we had agreed upon this plan, much less left Lurf yet. I mean,
Yes, well, there are only a few pages left of the script for this episode, so it seems like the writers wanted to move things along, and quite frankly, I think that's a very good idea.
Can I skip ahead a few pages here and see if I survive this ridiculous plan? Oh dear, I don't see any lines for me on the last page.
Well, stop skipping ahead. Don't you know that you could risk a tear in the space-time continuum if you read about your own demise? It's just, but can't do that.
My own demise? Wait, is that what happens? Oh! I'm too young to die.
You're like 6 million Carflugons old, Guri. That's not young at all. It's quite old.
Age is but a number, Captain.
Just Just suit up and get ready for your launch out escape hatch number 4. Was it 5? Whatever. Pick one of them and just get ready.
Yeah, we're within sight of Uranus now, Captain. You can see it and the full moon of Cloaca just out starboard side window now.
Oh, full moon indeed.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Yes, yes, Captain. It harkens back to the ancient rhymes from the first explorers of the universe. I recall the lines of Homer, or was it Aeschylus or Euripides, who wrote, "Amidst the throngs of siren songs, our ships could not contain us. For once in sight, made hasty flight to the bowels of Uranus."
Never did such words ring so true.
Sorry to interrupt your reverie, Captain Nguri, but we're approaching the launch point.
Ah, what? Already? My zipper is stuck. I can't.
Launching in 3, 2.
No, no. Oh, I don't even know the full plan yet.
1.
Captain, we have to brief, debrief.
Launching now.
Oh, my comet. I'm traveling very fast. Can you read me? Do you have communicator contact?
Yes, yes, Gory, yes. Just calm down. You can deploy your parachute pads to control your speed and direct yourself to the storage facility on Cloaca. It should be one of the few structures on the moon there.
But, oh, God, all right. Okay, deploying pants now. I haven't seen such flared leggings since the late 1970s. I feel hopelessly out of date.
Beginning our slingshot orbit run now, Captain. We're going to lose contact with Guri once we're behind Uranus.
Did you hear that, Guri? We're going to lose contact with you soon.
Oh, yes, yes. Don't worry about me. I'll just piece the plan together if I survive a borderline crash landing on Cloaca. I'll find the backup tapes. Hopefully they're clearly labeled.
What's that? Your pants have become fairly unstable. Do we even know whether Cloaca has any type of atmosphere?
I hope they're clearly labeled. I said, oh, never mind. But now that you mention it, it is quite difficult to keep my pant leg stable. I'm approaching the moon's surface at a very high rate of speed.
Well, Guri, gain control of his parachute pants in time to land successfully on Cloaca, or will it turn into a case of bell-bottom blues? Will he be able to sort through the file cabinets full of backup tapes and find the ones he needs in time to reconnect with Captain Yuri and Shipward as they emerge from their slingshot orbit around Uranus? Will even one single thing go right with this half-baked plan? Stay tuned and find out on the next episode of
Greetings, dear. No, that's all right.
Oh,
please shut up. Let me get another take.
No, shut him up. I need to concentrate on my upcoming crash landing here. And wait, you can't just end the episode now. I'm literally going to crash into Cloaca's surface in just a few space seconds.
No, Guri, the action is paused now until the next episode. You're in sort of a suspended animation state, if you haven't noticed.
Oh. Why, yes, I see the space dust in front of me is barely... Achoo!
Bless you!
I forgot how allergic I am to space dust.
I think I have an Allegra here, if you need it.
Notice, end of action, and take that as me cue. Am me too early?
Right on time, Theed.
Where everybody?
Apparently I'll be suspended here among the space dust until the next episode. Achoo!
The pollen counts are very high this year, even in space.
I offered him an allergy pill. I have a whole bunch here.
Oh, are you popping pills? Mr. Narrator, are you the pusher man from the Steppenwolf song? I stepped on a wolf once. I felt so bad. I like wolf. They're so flurry and furry and fluffy.
No, I just happen to have some extra allergy medication.
Yes, yes, yes. Me know. Me deal with your kind on the corner on the corner on Sesame Street after dark. It was an HBO series. Me and Oscar played undercover detectives. Me don't want to give anything away, but let's just say there's a reason Big Bird and Snuffleupagus had those heavy eyelids. You know what I say?
Oh, Fiend, really? You've ruined my impression of what I thought was a perfectly wholesome show for young hummus beans. I used to love the theme song. Maybe I can figure it out on the space piano here while you two compare notes on the drug trade.
Again, I know nothing about the drug trade. Look, my wife packed me some extra allergy medication for this episode. She knew we would be shooting in different locales, possibly in space, where the pollen count is quite high this year.
How long have you had this problem, Jack?
Who is Jack?
Isn't that your name, Jack?
I have no name. Narrators are not given names.
Narrators have names.
No.
Maybe Jack just be the
narrator in the script.
Jack maybe is just your code drug name. That's what
I don't
guess,
have
right?
a name. And certainly Listen. Not Jack.
Listen, Jack. And it's cool. It's cool. Well, you've got some pills in your pocket. What?
Listen, I had to supply my driver's license to get these pills. That's how they weed out the dealers.
You just, I know you. I know you like to weed out. I like to weed out too sometimes.
That's
you know what
not
I'm saying?
The weed I meant. You know it.
Hey, do you got any suppositories? Because like, I can really I'm a little backed up right now.
I only have the one left, and I'm sort of saving it.
I can get you some good deal on that suppository. I'll give you $20 right here.
$20 for the repository, you say?
$20 for the repository. Yes, suppository. I got a repository of suppositories, you know what I'm saying?
All right, that's fine. You got $20 on you?
How about I'll give you $50 and you just, I'll take the rest back as cocaine. Gotcha! I knew it! Gory, I think the narrator is he's a cokehead.
I'm not a cokehead.
He's a Pepsi head.
Look, I did a little bit of lewds in the 70s, but that was it. I haven't done them since last week.
Sounds like a real problem, dude.
Call me Dude or Jack or whatever names you have for me.
Say, I have a question. How's Gory going to just hang out in suspended animation for the next 2 weeks before we film another episode? What happens if he has to go to the bathroom?
It looks like your Sesame Street After Dark voice where you kind of become more urban.
I am sounding a little bit urban. Cha-cha-cha. You might want to get some of those pee pants. It keeps you have to go bathroom while you're in suspended animation.
Oh, I wish. That's a brand new sponsor. They didn't give us any promotional copies yet.
Oh, they send me tons of promotional pants.
Worse, I have parachute pants on. It's just going to go everywhere at this point.
What did you just say?
I have parachute pants on.
Don't
Can I ask you a question? I have science question
for your pee bait.
How parachute pants work if Moon has no atmosphere?
That's a little bit of atmosphere, I believe, but not that much because I can jump off.
It's about got as much atmosphere what? As a McDonald's restaurant.
I don't even know what voice I'm doing at the moment. I there's not that much atmosphere. I can jump off to get at least that's what they told me. That was the plan. Of course, they probably didn't do any of the calculations.
Oh, Shipboard, he does great calculations.
I'll be stuck on Cloaca forever.
We don't know much about Cloaca. It hasn't been studied extensively.
What do we know about the Cloaca?
Things we don't rather not repeat.
We seem to know much more about Uranus than we know about Cloaca.
We know plenty about Uranus. Yeah. We've explored it quite a bit. There was a probe done a few years back.
Once per year, I'd say.
Gory spent many years studying Uranus. Did you know that?
Not funny.
Yes. I like studying Uranus, but I like cookies better.
The problem is that all the information was wiped clean from Uranus, and so we're going to have to retrieve it from Cloaca.
Did you do a 7-pass wipe?
I heard Uranus was very flared up at the moment. That's why we had to go do slingshot around Uranus.
No, they went front to back and wiped it clean, apparently. So,
well, I believe we're passing through a hemorrhoid field right now.
We don't want to go back to front.
Is that's not recommended.
What about left to right? Is that okay?
That would be a disaster.
Yes, that'd be very bad. I once tried to wipe my anus with cookie.
We're talking about your anus.
I took a supposed
on my anus.
Why are you talking about your anus? And not, did I just and break, I'm saying did your I just anus. Metaphor? Right now I'm saying your anus.
No, my anus is another planet in distant solar
you
system.
You mean Mianus, New Jersey?
No, my anus versus your anus.
Mianus. There's a town in New Jersey, isn't there?
Stay away from my anus. I'm using it to make tea.
I'm going to Google it. There is a town called my anus.
I make what my own Google? Licorice with my anus.
Connecticut.
You make anus licorice?
Yeah, my anus river bridge in Coscob, Connecticut. Ooh.
Is it a town or is it a bridge?
It's a town and a bridge, I believe. It's a river.
It's more of a passageway.
It is a passageway. It's a river. My anus river.
So there's a bridge to Uranus? Or there's a bridge from my anus to Uranus?
I believe it's what the Hershey Highway passes over.
Oh, yes, Hershey Highway. Yes. Right. I heard all about it.
It's actually Route 95, but yes, it's called the Hershey Highway on that stretch right there. No, yeah, my anus is a town. What? Why am I? Now I'm in the CC.
I feel like
my anus is a town. Your anus is a planet.
My anus is a town. Your anus, on the other hand, is a whole different universe.
It's a planet. A freaking cold planet. But occasionally has flare-ups when it faces the sun.
It's a black hole, if you ask me. It's a gravitational pull. All right.
I think we've maybe overdone this too much.
I think we've gone down a rabbit hole of sorts. Different.
Can we just say pee hole a few more times? Pee hole.
Stop.
Pee hole.
Where's the stop button?
Pee hole.